to the Drive Time Show on Toledo Sports Leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Miguel swings it to fly ball, right field, way back and right. Garcia to the fence, looking up, and it's gone, a home run.
Wow.
Miguel Cabrera with a two-run shot to right, his 24th, his fifth home run in the last week. The Tigers hit it.
This 106.5 The Ticket Sports Exclusive is driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik Jr. at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Matthews got it, throws. He's got Golden Tate who makes the catch. Inside the 15, inside the 10, and he's biking away. He's into the end zone. Pack the bags. Start the plane. This game is over. Oh, baby, how big is that?
Get ready. It's now Drive Time.
Sweeping left side, 10-5. Touchdown, Curtis Samuel. And the Buckeyes win it in overtime. A game that they trailed by 10 points to give Ohio State a 30-27 victory over the University of Michigan.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Curry blocks the shot. Then Gretzky in. 3-0.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco, 15 feet, 4 inches, Sarah Cup, President's Cup to the United States.
Well, from Sylvania, Tam O'Shanter, glad to have you on board, everybody. We're at the Loft Restaurant, Drive Time, driven by the Low Payment King. We'll join a couple of guests until 6 o'clock tonight, then from 6 to 7. Face off the hockey show. Obviously, we'll be talking about the Toledo Walleye. The Walleye are in Loveland, Colorado tonight to play game 3 of this best of 7, a Western Conference final series. Series is tied 1 game each. 3 consecutive games out in Colorado. So we're going to touch on that in the show tonight. In fact, at 5:15, Mark Monroe will join us from Colorado. Again, at 5:15, Mark Monroe will join us. At 5:35, Matt Markey, Toledo Blade, our Wednesday Outdoor Report. 6:05 on Face Off the Hockey Show, Kevin McGlue. He is the play-by-play voice of the Colorado Eagles. 6:20 from Colorado, Matt Melzack will join us, voice of the Toledo Walleye. Then at 6:35, 6:40 tonight, Pete Weber, the television radio voice of the Nashville Predators, who I think are kind of turning into America's sweetheart here, and I think it's probably because they have the best anthem singers, of course, down there in Nashville, as that entertainment country capital is really on board with this. And, of course, Mike Fisher playing with Nashville. So a lot of folks out there, and I know there's a lot of, well, anti-Penguin fans, of course, here in this area. So I think Nashville's picked up a lot of the Red Wing followers anyway. So Walleye Hockey on Face Off the Hockey Show, NHL Hockey, Face Off the Hockey Show, and the Walleye Hockey, top of the hour at 5:15 with the Mark Monroe. Just a couple of notes on the commentary. Last night, you know, I had to do something last night just because I couldn't keep my eyes open. The Tiger game got into the 7th, 8th, 9th inning. Big night for J.D. Martinez. We'll get to that in a moment. But I finally said I can't keep this television on anymore. I had it on in the bedroom, and I said, we're going to do some old time like you did when you were a kid. I just turned on the radio and tuned in the game, and it was really, I mean, very, very relaxing. It was a great night. Had the windows open, you know, just kind of sitting there listening to a ball game last night. And I was just amazed when the Tigers came back to tie that game in extra innings, 11-11. And I knew, I'm just thinking, who is left in that bullpen? Neither of the choices I loved. It was K-Rod or it was Anibal Sanchez. And sure enough, they went to K-Rod, and he got lit up, including a long home run by Davis. That thing still is in orbit someplace. That was unbelievable. Saw the highlight of that. Now, taking something away from that game last night, you got to give the Tiger, and Al Avila said this, not Al Avila, Alex Avila said this as well, that you know what, the Tigers hung in, they battled back. They were down 7-0 in that game. You got to give the Tigers credit, and everybody knows the Tigers situation when it comes to pitching. You get that deep into a game, you had to have somebody fresh for tonight's game, and that was Anibal Sanchez. So in came K-Rod, and the Tigers now are one game behind, or one game under 500, of course, and now, but still only trail the Cleveland Indians by 2 games. Baltimore in town tonight. Fulmer will go for the Detroit Tigers. He's been absolutely outstanding as well. Well, how nice is it to have J.D. Martinez back in the lineup? His grand slam last night got the Tigers right back into this thing and, in fact, tied the game.
J.D. has excelled in these spots.
J.D. Martinez, Trumbo, man, he's hitting the ball all over the park. And Justin Wilson, of course, came in to close. He's been absolutely lights out, but you know what? Last out of the game, toughest to get, unfamiliar role. And Trumbo did it to him, and here goes the Baltimore Orioles to send it to extra innings in the top of the night.
1-0 delivery. In the air to right field, hit pretty good, back near the wall, looking, and goodbye home run! The Orioles have come back and tied it up in the ninth inning with two down on a line shot by Trumbo.
This guy can flat out hit. He led the American League last year in home runs, no surprise there. Tigers lose it, right back at it tonight against the Baltimore Orioles. Here was Brad Ausmus after the game.
Roller coaster, and they did give the offense, especially really J.D. Martinez, got us back in the game initially. They did an outstanding job of fighting back. The seven-run third obviously stung early. They fought back, and then they fought back in extra innings in the three-run deficit. It's not K-Rod or Sanchi. I know you like to point fingers and blame people, but that's not how it works here. We're a team. You know, even before K-Rod got in there, they had the lead, and we fought back and tied it.
No, I'm not pointing fingers and blaming anybody.
Yes, you are.
No, but
you always do. That's what you do. You know, no bullpen is perfect. Do you think the Baltimore Orioles bullpen is perfect? They also get the three-run lead, so there's no perfect bullpen out there. There's some that are perform better than others. There's some that have a little more talent than others, but there's no perfect bullpen. Nobody's perfect. There's no bullpen with a zero ERA. That's just not how it works.
Well, Brad Ausmus, of course, say, listen, you could tell he was disappointed by the loss. The things that he said were absolutely true. Give the Tigers credit. Give Baltimore credit. This was a wild baseball game last night. And again, I enjoyed myself. I had the last couple innings on the radio. Kind of back when you were just a kid tuning in the ball game. I thought it was a lot of fun. And I think he's a little bit protective right now of his bullpen. He makes some pretty good points. I mean, look at Baltimore's bullpen last night. They weren't any good either. But Baltimore holds on to win it. And believe me, Tiger fans, I agree with that. There's guys in bullpens in every major league team that you don't want to have out there. But when you get down to the 13th inning, for crying out loud, the 12th, 11th, 12th, and 13th innings, I mean, Baltimore was out of players. Out of pitchers. Detroit was out of pitchers after K-Rod. The only guy they had left was Sanchez. And you know what? His pecking order of who he brought into the game and was available to pitch the game were the two guys that were last on his list. And that was K-Rod and that was Anibal Sanchez. Those two guys would have been last on my list, too. Well, unfortunately, I guess the only thing that stands out about this, you know, I saw this morning, as everybody knows, Fox Sports Detroit replays the game. And, boy, I got up and, they basically condensed the games. You can watch about four innings there in about 20 minutes, which is great. And the only thing about K-Rod, I mean, he was throwing 55-foot pitches last night. I mean, there was a pass ball. The Tiger catcher, McCann, really had a tough time just blocking anything. This is a confidence situation. Now, this guy, you know, he's trying to throw that breaking ball and not allow people to hit it, but what is happening is he's trying to be so fine with it, it's basically turned into, like I said, 55, 58 feet breaking balls. And, I think he threw four in a row in the dirt. I mean, that just tells you something. This guy is not on track. All right, everybody, that's the Reed Funeral Home, a Detroit Tiger report. Little hockey coming up. In fact, a lot of hockey in the next, about an hour and 45 minutes. Right around the corner, Mark Monroe, he is out in Loveland, Colorado, covering the Toledo Walleye. This is Drive Time. It's driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. By the way, Saturday is Customer Appreciation Day. Free. Now get this. Free Vito's Pizza at the Superstore from 11 to 3. The mascot Howler of the Timberwolves will be there. Also, come on down and register to win an all-expense-paid trip to Dallas, the Cowboy Classic, when Michigan takes on Florida Labor Day weekend. That's coming up, Customer Appreciation Day at the Monroe Superstore. A lot going on Saturday at the Superstore. All right, everybody, I'd like to remind you that Toledo Walleye playoff coverage of the Toledo Blade is presented by the Low Payment King on this show, Drive Time. Back with Mark Monroe after
Montalito's sports leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Drive Time tonight. Coming to you from the Loft Restaurant here in Sylvania. Tamas Shannard taking a look at the Tass Electronics rink right below us. Based off the hockey show coming up at 6:05 tonight. Matt Markey will join us at 5:35. Highlighting face off the hockey show tonight around 6:35 will be the play-by-play television and radio voice of the Nashville Predators, Pete Weber. Of course, Nashville leading that series 2-1. They get back into action in the Music City tomorrow night. Again, Pete Weber joins us at about 5:35 tonight. We're going to check in with Mr. Melzak out in Loveland, Colorado as well. And also on face-off, talk to Kevin McLew. He is the play-by-play voice of the Colorado Eagles, so we'll get things from Colorado's perspective. Tonight, by the way, is Game 3 in Colorado. Games 3, 4, and 5, all in Colorado. Tonight, then Friday and Saturday, Game 6 and 7 back in Toledo next Monday and Wednesday, if necessary. Series is tied 1-1, and as always, the playoff run here on Drive Time, presented by the Low Payment King, as is the coverage of the Toledo Blade. And joining us now, the beat writer for the Toledo Walleye, longtime veteran writer, Mark Monroe, joins us. Hello, Mark. How are you?
Good, Mike. How you doing?
Good. Hey, thanks for taking the time, number one. And I guess number two, what have you learned since you've been out there since the last time we talked? You had a chance to talk to the coaches. You had a chance, I'm sure, to witness a couple of practices. Bring us up to speed, if you could, please.
Yeah, sure, Mike. Sounds like you've been talking a lot of walleye hockey over the next 2 hours, which is a great thing, of course. But, the players today seemed quite relaxed and loose at the morning skate. And, we talked the other day about the elevation and the altitude and how that might affect them. And talked to them a little bit today, and they don't seem overly concerned about it. They're all aware of it, and they plan to stay hydrated. They're using nutrition to take care of it. A couple of the guys said they did feel it, but just after a couple of days here, they seem like they're accustomed to it, I think.
No, you get a chance to acclimate pretty good, and believe me, and I know this for a fact because I have the cardiovascular system of a broadcaster. A player's heart can recover pretty quick. I mean, hockey players, when it comes to a cardiovascular fitness, I mean, there might not be anybody better. It's not going to take those guys a lot to get that added oxygen into their system. Let's talk about the goaltending. We understand Jeff Lurg is going to get the start for the Walleye. How about, tell me about the Eagles. Are we going to see Toledo native Lucas Hafner? Have you learned that yet?
Yeah, not exactly. Hasn't been determined. They kind of hold it close to the vest here in the playoffs, but I almost certainly can expect Hafner to be back in there because he won on Saturday night, and Colorado coaches seem to go with the hot hand. So I would say, 90% chance they'll go back to Hafner, and of course Lurg. I think he's going to be back to his fine form after 3 days of rest. Look sharp in practice, and look ready to go. He's a guy that really has his routines and gets honed in on game day. And, it's great to see, Jake Patterson out there for the Walleye too. He looked real good too. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him, in the series yet. Certainly depends on how it plays out, but, 3 games and 4 days out here, we'll see how it goes, but Teddy may be back in.
I hope you read my mind. 3 and 4, you never know this time of the year. Now, most guys ride the hot hand, but, that's a little bit of a different schedule. Your story today, I think you touched on a great point. These are two teams. Mark Monroe joins us from Loveland, Colorado, where the Walleye tonight take on the Colorado Eagles. High-scoring, offensive-efficient hockey clubs.
Yeah, they're both highly skilled. The Walleye can be a treat to watch. Just their the tic-tac-toe passing, how they can finish. They have a whole group, any of those three lines. As you know, Mike, they just go with the three lines in the ECHL, and they're as skilled as any I've seen in Toledo for certain. And Colorado has really impressed me with their size, but their ability to also, score consistently and in bunches.
Tell me a little bit about the atmosphere as Mark Monroe joins us from Loveland, Colorado. Walleye play tonight, game three. Everybody knows what goes on here, what I've always dubbed one of the great hockey towns in all of North America. And we see the great crowds down at the Huntington Center. Tell me about, number one, being a media guy, the newspaper coverage out in Colorado for this hockey club, the Colorado Eagles. And tell me about the excitement level in Loveland and what type of crowd do they expect tonight, Mark?
Yeah, it's a little difficult to gauge. You don't see the signs like you kind of do back home there with the support really continuing to grow. But I certainly expect, well more, you know, 5,000 here tonight at, Budweiser Event Center. And they've, had, I think, the third best attendance. So big crowds here. And, they have a couple of newspapers out here that do cover them thoroughly. And, I expect a great atmosphere. You know, it's the Western Conference Finals, and it's going to be great hockey again tonight.
Well, good television and radio coverage here back in Toledo as well. Danny Watson, from what I've read in your paper and for the Times, the Toledo Blade, of course, and coverage in the Blade is presented by the Low Payment King and this show, Drive Time. You know, his demeanor, even on this show, we've probably had him on 10, 12 times this year, Mark. Pretty level-headed, kind of calm, cool, and collected. You don't see a lot of demeanor changes in him, do you?
Well, yeah, it's funny that you say that. He was in practice today. He's always out on the ice, as, you know, hockey coaches do. He was out there with Andy Dalmore's assistant, and they were playing a little game and just having fun with the guys. And you're right, Dan Watson is a very laid-back guy. But I will say this, his demeanor is amped up a little bit. You can tell it's the playoffs. He's a little more businesslike, and you know, just he's focused in, just like his players. But yeah, no, Dan's a very laid-back guy.
Well, the one thing he says, Mark Monroe, is to keep it simple on the road, north and south type of hockey was one of the quotes I read in your story, and one of the quotes I've read all year. That has really been the thing, I guess, on the road for the Walleye. Not trying to get too fancy, not trying to make the big plays. Just play your game steady up and down.
Consistent, too. That's the thing. The trouble that they get into is when they're not careful in their own end, or they have lapses and turnovers against a team like this. It'll end up in the back of your net, and that's what's happened. So if they play at the top of their game every shift, I think they can hang with any of the last three teams left in these playoffs for sure.
Mark, you've covered this. Two questions to go, and I'm going to ask you both sides of the fence here as Mark Monroe joins us from Loveland, Colorado. Read a story tomorrow, of course, of the Toledo Blade has presented the playoff run by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik, and this show, Drive Time. If the Toledo Walleye are successful tonight, what would they have done right?
Well, again, stick to their game plan and just no lapses, no times off. I guess as simple as Jeff Lurg, you know, if he plays to his capability, I mean, he can beat anybody. I've seen him, just be phenomenal. And, you know, they just need to convert on their chances. Lots of pucks, especially if it's the Hafner kid. He didn't stand on his head, just did what he had to do Saturday. If they pressure him a little bit more and just cash in and convert on their chances for the Walleye.
Other side of the coin, if the Colorado Eagles pick up the win tonight, and they would take a 2-1 lead in this best of seven. When you're writing about this game tomorrow, what do you think they would have done right?
Well, I think it's interesting that they're only 2-3 at home. You know, I haven't seen them play here, but I think a quick start is what they're after. You know, get on the board first, and I think they'll want to play that physical style and you know, play tight. And they also want to get traffic in front of Lurg. They want to get a lot of shots on Lurg. They know, you know, obviously the more pressure they put on him, the better. But I'd say if they score first, I think that gives them confidence and momentum.
Great stuff. Thanks for coming on, Mark, and a busy afternoon and a busy night. We'll be reading tomorrow. Appreciate it. We'll be watching. We'll be listening. I have my remote going pretty good tonight between the Tigers and the Walleye, so we're gonna wear the remote out back and forth tonight. So listen, thanks for coming on.
It's my pleasure, Mike. I do appreciate it.
Mark Monroe, Loveland, Colorado, with the Walleye tonight, Game 3, best of 7, Western Conference Finals. TASS Electronics Sports Update, weather update right around the corner. A little traffic as always, presented by SuperFitnessToledo.com. Mark, by the way, joined us on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Vito's Pizza, ingredients you can trust. Order by phone at any of the 20 Northwest Ohio, Southeast Michigan locations by phone or visit Vito's.com. How about this for a special? A large specialty five-topper, medium one-topper, choice of an appetizer for $18.99. Vito's Pizza. Visit Vito's.com. TASS Electronics, updates around the corner. Remember now, Saturday the 20th at the Superstore, the Low Payment King, and everybody will be up there. Customer Appreciation Day. Speaking of Vito's, 11 to 3, free pizza, again, at the Superstore on Saturday. Also go up and register for the Cowboy Classic, all-expense-paid trip to Dallas when Michigan takes on Florida. That's at the Superstore on Saturday. My name is Mike Miller. TASS Electronics updates around the corner. Back with Matt Markey after this. This is ESPN 106.5 The Ticket in Toledo.
Five The Ticket. Here's your host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
Welcome back to Drive Time. Glad to have you on board. Tonight, as always, on Wednesdays from the Aloft Restaurant. Boy, just had a report from Loveland, Colorado. We have two more reports coming up from Loveland, Colorado. Face Off, the hockey show follows at 6 o'clock tonight. Our next guest, by the way, his appearance is brought to you by Jan's Netcraft. Fishing's their passion. Believe me, fishing is their passion. Expert advice, always free. Visit Netcraft on Briarfield Boulevard in Maumee for everything you need to catch anything. Again, visit jansnetcraft.com. Matt Markey joins us, as he always does, on Wednesday night. How about this for a segue? You ever been out in that Loveland, Colorado area, Mr. Markey, in your travels?
I have not. I've driven through Colorado a couple times, but I have not spent much time there. A lot more in Wyoming, Utah, probably Arizona the most, but not Colorado, no.
I got to tell you that, I could drive around Utah for a month and almost did. Absolutely unbelievable. I thought I was going to segue in this and the Rockies there around Denver. Loveland's 5,000 feet, by the way. But the headline of the story that you wrote, of course, was high, fast water. We have a lot of that in this region, and certainly I'm sure there's some of that up near Loveland, Colorado as well.
Yeah, occasionally, especially when you get some elevation like that, you get a good dose of precipitation. It can really get high and fast in a hurry. And, even here, it's on a relatively flat land. That amount of rain we had, a week or so ago really swelled the rivers and the streams. And we had, high, fast, muddy, and really, dangerous conditions. So it was, it's good to see the water come down. So, folks can get out and fish safely, but it was pretty risky for a while there.
I got to tell you, a couple days of that rain, I think it was on a Friday and a Saturday, if I'm not mistaken. The most pleasant sound in the world when that's going on for me is my sump pump working, believe me. So when that I can hear that thing click on, that makes me very, very happy. You mentioned the water backing down a little bit here. In that time frame, something, if you get rains like that, what is the span in which you would say everything's almost back to normal?
Well, with the amount of rain that we had in that really intense dose, I would say it takes a full week, because we have to remember, especially with the Maumee, we're draining part of southern Michigan, we're draining extreme northeastern Indiana, as well as a major chunk of the corner of northwest Ohio. So it takes a full week to get things relatively back to normal. The water still isn't as clear as it should be, I guess, this time of year. But it takes a long time to get it all drained out of that system. Same thing, on the Sandusky and the Portage. I checked out both of those earlier this week. And, water level dropping, but still quite muddy and still, more of a flow than you would normally see at this time of year.
Well, I was a little bit surprised, by the way, when I used to make my office down at 1 Main Street at the Toledo Sports Arena. I know across the street there were a couple of kayaking clubs there, and I want to say I am a little bit surprised with the numbers of kayaks that are registered almost have gone up 100,000 since 2006. So Your story, very timely, and an activity that gets people outside, gets them in a little bit better shape. And, you know, with everybody and cell phones and technology and 40 emails a day and this and that and the other thing, a pretty good stress reliever as well.
It is, and it's something that has really exploded in popularity, and I think for a number of reasons. I think it's the versatility of the craft, for one thing. There's a lot of places you can go in a kayak that you just can't go in a boat. There are a lot of places where you can easily take a kayak in, and there's really not much access with a boat. But also, it's fairly inexpensive to get in the game. You're talking about, you know, maybe $300-$400 for a really decent kayak. And then just, get some lessons, a little bit of understanding about the physics and how it all works, and you can be on your way. And I've seen a number of converts, you know, to kayaking in the last 5 or 6 years, and I haven't seen many of them drop out. You know, once they join in, we're seeing new kayaking clubs. We're seeing kayaking trails. There's a new trail across the water around the Lake Erie Islands. It's become very popular. So it's quite a phenomenon. Those sales have really gone crazy, while the sales of canoes and things like that have flattened out or actually gone a little bit backwards. So kayaking is, you know, has been on the rise. And it continues to be on the rise. And I think it's pretty simple. And a lot of folks, regardless of age or, skill level or whatever, can figure out a way to go out in a kayak and enjoy themselves. You know, find some calm, safe water and just, you know, work on the skill, learn a little bit. And then there, you know, I see them out on Lake Erie. There are folks that will take them, you know, out 300-400 yards from shore and go along Lake Erie, and they're in 2-3 foot swells and just, you know, having a ball. So it's kind of opened up a whole new avenue for a lot of people. And as, you know, one of the folks I interviewed said, you know, anything that gets people out enjoying the outdoors and experiencing the outdoors is a plus. And kayaking has certainly done that.
You know, the other thing, your observation is so true. Matt Markey joins us here on Drive Time. Of course, it's driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. He joins us on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Matt's appearance brought to you by Jan's Netcraft. All you have to do is walk into a retail outlet, whether it's Cabela's, whether it's Bass Pro, whether it's Dick's Sporting Goods, and you can tell what the hot items and what people and their activities are funneling towards just by where the merchandise is located in the store. So I caught that in your story. There's nothing truer than that. If you want to find out, you know, for the ladies, what's going on in fashion, go to a retail outlet and look where the best locations are, where folks can move merchandise. And that, you didn't surprise me by saying the kayaks now are basically in a prime spot in most locations.
They are, and it really struck me when I saw the huge racks and racks of kayaks, you know, outside of Cabela's, because Cabela's is in the game, for hunting and fishing primarily. I mean, they also sell a lot of camping equipment and some winter gear and things like that. But, there was a big push there and a big awareness of the popularity of kayaking, and they had every size, description, and color in the rainbow and then some, and they were moving them. So I think that is a great indicator, you know, of what's trending and what's, they're pretty sure their research tells them is going to be popular, and it's proven true. I mean, I see them going out the door at different retailers all around the area, and the manufacturers are making them and selling them as fast as they can. So I think it's just, the trend in Ohio is indicative of the trend, you know, what the trend has been across the country. There are kayaking clubs, you know, in California that strictly do the ocean. There are kayaking clubs in the Rockies that are strictly whitewater outfits. And so there seems to be something for just about everyone, you know, across the kayaking spectrum. And we're certainly, you know, seeing it boom in this area.
You know, my wife is a florist and has been for years. And, you know, we get a number, and there's a lot of plants and a lot of flowers in our backyard. Not in yet, but there's probably going to be some work coming up here pretty quickly. And, you know, I took a note on your article in the Hummingbird here, and the Hummingbird story, talking about colors and certain types of, of plants that attract them. I've seen them in the past, quite a few of them. But, boy, reading your story about an eighth of an ounce, 4 inches long, 20 hours nonstop flying. How about their wings, 50 times a second? They breathe 250 times a minute and can fly up to 60 miles an hour on a dive. Amazing, amazing creature. All that being said, you documented how common they are, and I'm surprised I don't see more.
Well, they're common, and you just have to have the right attractants, I guess, whether that's a couple of hummingbird feeders or whether that's the right kind of plants, because they will locate those food sources, and they will stay. And my older brother had a home in Beechwood Canyon in Los Angeles, which is right under the Hollywood sign, and he had three or four hummingbird feeders out hanging across the deck there in the canyon, and they were out there all day. You could just hear that real, you know, fast buzz come in, and then the chatter as they were arguing over who owned which feeder, and they were always there. So I think if you have a food source and they locate it, then they will be there, you know, for the long haul, because as you mentioned, Mike, their metabolism is off the chart, so they need a lot of that super high calorie nutrition that they get from you know, the nectar in the plants or the nectar that's in the feeders. And you know, I will occasionally see one, you know, out in the country, but they seem like they're going somewhere else with a purpose. And the only time you will see them hanging around, in other words, consistently see them, is if they have located that food source and it's regular and it's something that they can rely on, then they'll stay in that general area and continue to use that food source.
Matt Markey joins us, Toledo Blade outdoor editor. His appearance is always brought to you by Jan's Netcraft. What's the final mark on the birders, the biggest week in American birding here in our area? And any final thoughts on that? And I know there's other activities, as I saw in the paper, of course, on Sunday about the Michigan birding trails. And, I mean, really, the big event's over, but there's still a lot of things to do.
There are, and there's still a lot of, you know, the visiting tourist birders in the area. We won't have the final numbers on the festival, I think, for a bit yet, but I wouldn't be a bit surprised if it, you know, goes over that 70,000-80,000 mark, you know, by the end of the month. And I was out at Oak Openings the other day, saw a number of groups of birders out on the trails and, you know, scouring the pines looking for, you know, certain birds. So I think it's going to go on probably until the end or through the end of the month. And, you know, across such a wide area here in northwest Ohio, along the lake shore and south, that corner of southeast Michigan. So it's kind of hard to put your finger on an exact head count or exact number, but it is, you know, very substantial, and it seems to be growing each year. So I think there's going to be a lot of happy merchants. I think the chambers of commerce are going to be very pleased, the tourism bureaus, and I think the, you know, the biggest week in American birding is probably looking at its largest crowd, you know, yet. And then the expectation for next year would be then, you know, it would once again outdo what took place this year. It's just something that has been, you know, it was a great idea, very well organized, very well orchestrated, and then incredible attention to detail. So people leave here, go back to their local birding clubs, whether those are in Portland or those are in Boise or Atlanta or where they are, and they kind of spread the gospel that there's this incredible birding opportunity in the migration flyway, you know, in northwest Ohio along Lake Erie shoreline. And oh, by the way, they're great hosts. Everybody at the hotels, the restaurants, and so on are wonderful, and they, you know, welcome you with open arms. And then next year, you know, that just kind of compounds itself and you have more and more people. And that's the way it's worked. And I don't see any reason that, you know, snowball is going to slow down going down the hill.
No, you got to wonder what this is going to be like, well, say 5 years from now. What are you working on, Matt, moving forward this week?
Well, I got a couple things in the works. National Safe Boating Week starts on Saturday. So I got a preview of that on Friday, just kind of reminding people that, you know, start of the boating season is on us. Don't be in too big of a hurry. You know, make sure it's a safe and enjoyable one, not one where haste, you know, lets you get involved in an accident or a breakdown or something like that. Then for Sunday, I'll have a feature on a young man, local young man, who's has his own business, building fishing rods, making lures, selling them to retailers, selling to wholesalers, and he happens to be a senior in high school. So he's wow. done, you know, quite good things. So have those two coming up, and then certainly Friday, you know, we'll have the full run of the fishing report with Michigan and Ohio and anywhere exotic I might be able to throw in.
Good stuff. Hey, great hearing your voice. Thanks for coming on. Great as always. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
I'm Matt Markey, Toledo Blade Outdoor Editor. His appearance is brought to you by Jan's Netcraft. His phone line and how he got on the air with us is sponsored by the great folks at Vito's Pizza. Vito's Pizza, ingredients you can trust. Order by phone at any of the 20 Northwest Ohio, Southeast Michigan locations by phone or visit Vito's.com. How about this for a special? Five topper, medium, small, one topper, and a choice of an appetizer, $14.99. Remember, Saturday, up at the Monroe Superstore, Customer Appreciation Day, free. Get this, free Vito's Pizza from 11 to 3. The mascot Howler of the Timberwolves will be up there. Get up there and register as well for the Cowboy Classic trip in Dallas. That's Labor Day weekend, all expense paid. The Michigan Wolverines taking on Florida. Back to close it out. This is Drive Time. My name is Mike Miller, and this is ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Quit banging your head on that steering wheel and turn up the dial. It's Drive Time on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Glad to have you on board. Drive Time presented by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. Again, Customer Appreciation Day is on Saturday. Free Vito's Pizza. Get up and register for the Cowboy Classic, all expense paid trip. A lot of fun. Saturday up at the Superstore. Besides that, all the great deals, visit MonroeSuperstore.com. All the coverage in the Blade presented by our good friend, the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik, and this show, Drive Time. Mark Monroe joined us from Loveland, Colorado. That was Matt Markey, Toledo Blade Outdoor Editor. Quick note, too. Discounted tickets are on sale now at all Menards in the Northwest Ohio area. 76 running, May 21st of the Menards 200, presented by Federated Car Care. And by the way, Nick Svitolo will be out there on Friday night, again, talking to a lot of the guys that will be competing in that. We understand Ken Schrader will be around as well. He'll be on the air, so the big race coming up on Sunday. Again, out at Toledo Speedway. Like to thank Mark Monroe, Toledo Blade from Loveland, and also Matt Markey, Toledo Blade, Outdoor Editor. Right around the corner, Face Off the Hockey Show, 6:05. Kevin McGlue, radio voice of the Colorado Eagles, will join us. 6:20, Matt Melzack will join us, radio voice of the Walleye, television voice of the Nashville Predators. Pete Weber will join us at 6:40 tonight. Frank Gargano was our producer, engineer. And by the way, Drive Time is the only all-Led Zeppelin bumper music sports network station in North America. Glad to have you on board, everybody. We're at the Loft Restaurant here in Sylvania, Tam-O-Shanter. The Zamboni is on the ice. Face Off the Hockey Show coming up right around the corner, everybody. Stick with us. Glad to have you on board. Again, hockey. Face Off, the Hockey Show at 6:05. Kevin McGlue, Matt Melzack, Pete Weber, Nashville, Anaheim preview. They play tomorrow night. Stick around. Back after this.